For 25 years, Ann Dyer was a successful touring and recording vocalist, singing jazz and other styles.
Think whisperings and someone is standing in the hall.
But about 6 years ago, she took a hiatus from performing to devote herself to a deep study of yoga, especially Nada Brahma, also known as the Yoga of Sound. Originally, Ann Dyer thought she would take about a year off, but actually, she never really returned to her old performing life. She opened a yoga studio in Oakland, and she made teaching there the focus of her career. Recently, though, she's begun to integrate her years of yoga practice with her artistic work in a year-long project at Yerba Buena Center for the Arts in San Francisco. And it's all culminating this weekend in a performance called Vak, Song of Becoming. The show is co-composed by Tim Volpicella. It includes a 70-member choir of non-professional singers, a band including some Bay Area greats like saxophonist-composer Hafez Madirzadeh, and choreography by Erica Chong-Shuck. KALW's Hana Baba sat down with Ann Dyer in our studio for a conversation about yoga, sound, and music. She started by leading Hana through a yogic vocalizing exercise.
Good. Now, could you feel what happened in your on your sternum when you did that?
It was going from here to here.
Right.
To
it moves.
It moves.
It moves. The vibration moves. So it's literal. It's tangible. I'm not making it up. This is not like New Age hocus pocus, right? So by and large, most of us have gotten cut off from our voice, especially our singing voice. Singing around the world throughout time. Everybody does it. And there was a time where it was very much part of everyday life. You sang for work, you sang for ceremony, you sang for celebrating. It's fundamentally a basic human function. And it's really only very recently in the history of mankind, say maybe 100 years, that people have stopped doing that.
Why? What happened?
Well, there's different theories about what's happened, but one theory has to do with the media, that with the media, people more and more started looking to other people to do the singing, looking to the professionals to do the singing, when we started having radio and record players. And I think there's some other reasons having to do with isolation, having to do with
a focus on sight rather than sound all of a sudden with the television and video.
Well, increasingly, and now more than ever, there is a privileging of sight. And with the technological era, even more so. Now communication is becoming more and more through sight. And again, that's a big motivator for me because while there are pros and cons to that, there is something lost when we're communicating largely through sight, through text. And what is lost is tonality. What is lost is the melody of the voice. And it's that melody of the voice that expresses the emotion, that expresses a lot of the intimacy. So if you think about, for example, a mother singing to their child, a child may not understand what the mother's singing about. And the mother may not have a very good voice, you know, by our standards, but the child doesn't care. All the child wants to hear is that sound of his mother's voice.
What's the significance of getting non-professional singers? It's just people.
We call the Vak Choir the Choir of Everyday Singers, or Everyday Voices.
Was that on purpose?
It was on purpose. It goes back to what I was telling you in the beginning, that I really have a strong mission to get across the idea that everybody can sing, that you don't have to be a professional. It's something that's, it's a birthright. And I think when people hear our choir, they'll agree. And that there's a beauty in the everyday voice. There's a beauty in the trained voice. But there's a beauty in the everyday voice, because the everyday voice is an expression of who that individual is. A lot of people wonder, well, why the Indian stuff? You know, you could get people singing a lot of different ways.
That's true. Why?
Why? Because this subject is so developed in the Indian tradition. It uses voice as a spiritual practice, or you could say as a practice for self-revelation. So singing now is no longer about how pretty your voice is, or whether people are going to be impressed by you, or if you're the best one. Can you sing the highest? Can you sing the loudest? It's more about the experience of the voice, and how does it make you feel? How does it shift your state of mind? How does it connect you to other people?
What is your level of satisfaction now with what you're doing now in comparison with your level of satisfaction with your career as a performer?
I think this is a really important moment for me personally, because I'm integrating myself as an artist with myself as a leader or a teacher of this practice, of something that's very dear to me. So this project at the Yerba Buena Center is a very, very special opportunity for me to bring all of this together into one creation.